Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is the lovely Ingrid Janssen from the Declutter Hub to talk about the release of her debut book, Reset Your Home, Unpack Your Emotions and Your Clutter. The book guides you through your home, room by room and step by step, helping you sort through your emotional connection to stuff first, then through the practicalities of letting go. Congratulations, Ingrid!
Oh my goodness, Hannah, I'm just like bursting with pride and excitement all at the same time. I mean, you know what? Writing a book was on the long list of things Leslie and I really wanted to do at some point, but it never just went to the top of the list. And then Bloomsbury approached us and said, "Hi, we listen to your podcast. We love it. You should write a book." And we were like, "Okay." And yeah, it's taken 2 years, Hannah. And next week, Thursday, tomorrow week, it's finally being published. It's already available for pre-orders. And it's such a beautiful book as well. So when we got the real copy for the first time, we were like so excited and crying and everything at the same time because it's so pretty and it's so nice.
Oh, it really is wonderful. And I feel like I've been part of, well, just kind of seen your story as you guys have grown, you know, from what you've done for a business and then the launch of your podcast, which has just gone from strength to strength. And now the book, which I'm sure will be a bestseller.
Oh, you know what? You just keep everything crossed. And, you know, at first you think, you know, we need to get this book finished. We need to get this book finished. And then you think, right, all the hard work is done now. And then the whole thing kind of, you know, then we were asked, do you want to do the audio book? And we were like, really? And people were like, yeah, you should do an audio book. People are used to your voices. And we were like, but we're like, have a Northern accent and a Dutch accent. And they were like, well, but you do the podcast and people like to hear your voices. And so, yeah, we went into the studio for 3 days and recorded our own audio book. And then it became an ebook as well. And it's just been, honestly, a whirlwind. And it's been just so fabulous. And I had never, I mean, I knew it would be like a big thing to write a book, but now the moment is nearly there. And it's like, I don't know, just a highlight, honestly.
And you're on the front cover of Best Magazine with the likes of David Beckham and William and Harry, you know.
Oh, I know. It's we've been so lucky to get a lot of press. So Ideal Home, Living Etc., Huffington Post a couple of days ago, Brand You. I've literally just unpacked another magazine that I ordered, that we're also in with a couple. It's been phenomenal. We feel so lucky. And you know how hard we have worked, Hannah, to make this all happen. You've been with us, you know, in our, you kind of, you know, did the challenge and you've been following us, and your support has been also just so lovely by having me on the show, coming back, and it's so appreciated. And we're incredibly blessed that we've got so much fantastic feedback. And the book has been so well received. And we actually send it to a couple of our organizer friends as well. Say, you know, guys, you are in the know. You know what this whole organizing is about. Read the book and let us know. And they did. And we recorded the podcast that's coming out. So we're doing next week a whole week of extra episodes to kind of celebrate the launch of the book. So normally we have one episode every Friday, but next week we've got one every day.
Oh, so, how lovely. Good for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been really fun. Tiring, but fun.
Yeah. And a lot of the good response that you've had from people are really loving the idea and the acknowledgement that decluttering generally starts from a place of emotions. We need to connect to the emotions behind the clutter before we start decluttering.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that Leslie and I have spoken about for many, many years. Decluttering is not easy. People who are organized are like, what's the big deal? It's not that hard.
It's just stuff.
It's just stuff. But the people who have clutter are like, yeah, but if it's easy, I would have done it, right? So we are really, it's not the stuff. It's all the emotions that sit behind it, like the guilt about, because something was very expensive. expensive, or because it was a gift, or because it was from a family member who's passed away and you can't let it go. It's also aspirational clutter, like, oh, I want to be this person who uses a spiralizer in my kitchen because I want to be a healthy eating person and I'm going to make bread one day, and all of these things. And money, of course, is important as well. It's you know, when you buy something very expensive and you feel then guilty because you haven't worn it and it's still got the tag on, and then you think, well, but you're just perpetuating that guilt. And once you start to understand these emotions, then it's like, oh, right, I've never looked at it from this way. And then you can start to think and the light bulbs go on, and then it's like, okay, I understand now. And then you can start to kind of move into a more practical of, okay, I need to break this down. I need to start with easier rooms. I need to, but if you just see a mountain of clutter, it just feels so overwhelming that it's like, I don't even know where to start and what to do. So once you start to get an understanding of yourself and the emotions that possibly hold you back, that's the beginning of the learning. And then you can slowly but surely take a step forward.
Yeah. One of the next chapters in the book that you talk about is understanding your clutter personality. What does that mean?
I know. What we see a lot is that people have just different personalities. Nobody's the same. So you've got the people who just, because Leslie and I have worked in hundreds of houses as well, right? So we've seen a lot. It's not that we just started this online, but I've never worked with clients. We have been in people's homes, and every home is different, but every person is different. And some people just have heaps of stuff everywhere. It looks quite organized, but it's all in heaps, but it doesn't still mean they can still find it. You've got the people who are super emotional about everything, and every item has a story and a reason why they can't let it go. Then you've got the people who love the shopping but have trouble letting it go. So stuff comes in, but nothing leaves. Then you've got the people who've undergone a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, a lot of loss, and they try to fill kind of a hole in their lives by keeping all their stuff. And then, of course, you've got the people who are just juggling 25 plates. They've got so much going on in their lives that it's just tricky for them to kind of starting to make a plan, because they're afraid if they let go of something, somewhere everything comes crashing down. So I think it helps people to understand. And a lot of people are coming back to us, oh yeah, two of those five really resonate with me, but Ingrid, I'm a little bit of everything. And that's okay. You know, it's more, again, a little tool to make people realize that we all have different stories behind our clutter.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing you talk about in the book that I'm not sure we've talked about before is storage areas. You have a chapter on indoor storage areas and outdoor storage areas. And I guess storage areas can often, it sounds great. It sounds like an organized room, but they can often quite easily end up being dumping grounds, because you think, I'll just chuck it in there and then I'll sort it out later. Is that generally where you're coming from with that?
Yes, definitely. It's like, let's just put it in the loft. You know, that's one of these amazing phrases that we hear. Let's just put it in the loft because we don't know. We might need it one day, just in case. All of these things. I'm not sure. I'm not ready to let that go yet. Let's just put it there. And what we see is that it's not a structured or organized room. The loft ladder, the hatch goes open, the loft ladder comes down, somebody is brave enough to climb into the unknown and kind of pull some stuff up and just puts it there wherever there's space. And at some point you kind of go, yeah, I think, and then especially people who haven't been in the loft for a while, and they suddenly kind of stick their loft through the loft hatch and they go, oh my word, what's all this stuff? And then you realize, oh yeah, I have not really been here or done anything for about 10 or 12 years. And then it's like peeling the layers of an onion, right? It's like, oh, this is the phase when the kids were little, and this is the phase when we emptied my mom's house and all the stuff, and this is the phase of... So you need to make sure these areas also are organized, because what you want to put in your loft is stuff that you actually want to use, you know, big suitcases, decorations for the holidays, whether it's Christmas, Easter, I don't know, whatever it is, what you celebrate. It needs to have a box. It needs to have a label. It needs to have a good container so you can find it. Because what you don't want is lofts that are absolutely waist high with stuff. And you can't find anything because then you end up rebuying stuff. Yeah. So it's really important that you organize these areas. And the same goes for a garage, a shed, an outhouse, anything like that. These are important rooms and they need to function as rooms where you can actually store items, but also can retrieve items and find them.
Yeah, I suppose people don't always think of them as rooms because they don't have furniture in them. You know, it's easy to think, oh, well, no. And plus, a lot of people don't see them. You know, you don't have people around your house and invite them into your loft or your garden shed generally. So it's easy to get away with hiding things in there. But if anyone's ever had trouble trying to find stuff in these rooms, the idea of it all being organized and everything that has a box has a label, it should be a fun, easy, dare I say, pleasurable experience going into your loft, because you just go, there's the Christmas decoration box, here we go, or there's all our camping equipment, here we go, and everything's just labeled in specific places, and it doesn't need to be a nightmare at all.
Exactly. And I think zoning is very important in these kinds of areas. You want to say, okay, this is the area where all the backpacks and suitcases go. This is the area where all the decorations go. This is the area for all the skiing or camping equipment. This is the area where, if you've got kids in different ages and you want to kind of, you don't have space downstairs in the wardrobes, but you need to have a good system with labels and with, this is the ages and this is summer clothes or winter clothes. There needs to be zones and there needs to be a system. And then the stuff can get a second life. And what we see a lot is just throw it up there. We might use it one day and then things deteriorate. And that is, I think, such a shame, because we always have the hope that somebody will give it to our children when they move out to their flat. And they're like, go away with your old-fashioned stuff. We have our own taste. We want to have our own stuff. You know? We don't need your stuff. That's been in the loft for 25 years. But we paid money for it. So we think, we just want to give it a second life. But I think before you put it in the loft or in the basement or wherever you put it, really think it through. Can somebody else enjoy it now? Because if something is put away somewhere never to see the light of day, the quality goes down. And that's a thing, that's such a shame.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm getting more and more addicted and really good at Vinted.
Excellent.
I'm selling lots of stuff on Vinted and I always give a good price as well. Lots of people have said to me, a few people have said to me, this is exactly what I was looking for and thank you for the good price. I'd rather have it maybe slightly cheaper and get rid of it quickly, so I haven't got loads of stuff stored in my house waiting to sell. And it's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Hannah, you are absolutely a star pupil, right? Because but you could not have done this. You could not have done Vinted when you had, a lot of clutter. No. And when you came into our challenge, you need to be organized to sell. Leslie and I have nothing against selling. Vinted, Facebook Market, whatever, eBay, whatever it is. If you want to sell because you need to recoup some of the money, because you find it a little challenge, because, you just fine. But you need to be organized, because you need to take pictures. You need to do a listing. You need to respond. You need to put it in packaging. You need to go to the post office. You need to make sure the right address is on the right package. And you need to be also realistic. If this has been on Vinted/eBay for, a week or 2 weeks, it's not selling. I need to put my price down or I'm going to donate it. You need to be an organized person.
Yeah.
And what we see a lot is that people who have tons of clutter want to sell, but create bags and bags full of stuff they want to sell, but never get around to it. Because you need to be organized and you need to have boxes and crates and a system. But when you've got loads of clutter, your whole head head is spinning and buzzing in all different directions. So you can't, you don't have the focus to sell on Vinted. But, you know, you are really, you know, you've made so much progress and now you're enjoying the Vinted. And it's fantastic to hear. I'm happy for you.
Oh, yeah, it's really fun. And another subject that you talk about in the book is books, which is a really fascinating one. And I guess a very personal one for people, because some people might have the very simplistic idea that once you've read a book, you can get rid of it, either give it to someone else, give it to a charity shop, or sell it. But other people think, oh no, it's a great book. It really affected me. I really enjoyed it and want to keep it, even if they don't think they'll ever read it again, which is a funny one. Yeah.
A lot of people are surprised that we put books much later in our book and also in the roadmap that we have in our membership. They're like, why is books so late? Because a lot of people struggle with letting go of books because of loads of different reasons. Because some people just want to, you know, they want that knowledge. They want to be the person that has bookcases, you know, walls full of bookcases that are full of books. They love to be the one that has the coffee table books at the ready. So they feel, you know, it's aspirational. It's so many things are involved with books. But the thing is, a lot of people see books as one big collection. And that's where it normally the overwhelm sits in, because they think I don't want to let go of any of my books, because they see it as one big thing. And what Leslie and I are trying to do in our membership, in our book as well, to say, okay, hold on a minute. There are categories within books. There are things you can do. You know, people don't have, you know, you need to look at the space. Have you got room? Because as soon as books go into boxes that are then put into a loft, they might as well be out of your house,
because definitely.
You don't see them. You don't see them. You don't use them. You forget where they are. So we love for people to have, you know, if you are a book lover, by all means, have tons of books. But if they're double stacked in boxes under your bed, never to see the light of day, then we're like, okay, hold on a minute. Let's talk about this.
Yes, it's a really fascinating subject, books, I think. And, you know, because a lot of people have books that they reread, you know, if it's maybe a spiritual book or a self-help book, something that they've really got something out of, or even books that you can dip in and out of, you know, but to do with self-help and these kind of things, that they're always worth hanging on to. And some people go back and reread fictional books, you know, classic stories that maybe they loved as a kid, or, you know, they'll go back and reread it because they find it comforting or a bit nostalgic. But other people, myself included, I don't think I've ever reread a book. You know, if I've enjoyed a book, I've enjoyed the experience of reading the book, and I kind of don't feel the need to read it again. I have so many books that I want to read and need to read that are either in my house or on my Kindle or just on a list on my phone of books that I want to buy and read. The idea of reading a book twice is sort of laughable to me.
Yeah, I know. It's everybody has got such a different experience. It's the same as maybe people. It was very interesting. We had our lovely friend Juliette come onto our podcast, and she also mentioned the books podcast because she's a big book lover. And she said, some people don't understand that I love books and I've got so many, I want to keep them all. But I don't understand people who've got lots of purses and shoes and handbags, because they don't float. Everybody's got their thing. Mm-hmm. But it all starts with breaking that collection down, whether it's books, whether it's clothes, you have your favorites. And if you have a whole shelf of books that you love and you reread on a very regular basis, by all means, keep them.
Yeah.
But there's always books, especially if there's hundreds of books that you just didn't get on with. And after a couple of chapters thought, it's just not doing it for me. And you have to just go, you know, I'm going to be brave and I'm going to let it go, because somebody else might really like this book and I need the space to put something that I really, really want to. And, you know, maybe your thing is, you know what, I'm going to create a shelf of books that I haven't read, but that are really high on my list. I'm going to put them all together. And instead of then buying a new one all the time, I'm going to first almost shop from home.
Yeah.
And read the books that I even haven't read that I've been meaning to, because books are just so tempting, just like notebooks and stationery, and because they're normally not super expensive and you get that really nice buzz from it when you've got a new book in your hands. That's why there's bookshops on airports, right?
Because yeah. They're like, always with special offers. Always with yeah. special offers. Buy two, get one free is just yeah. so tempting with books, isn't it?
Exactly.
You didn't even need one and suddenly you're walking away with three.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, we all get tempted. I'm very good normally, but I also fall foul of that same marketing trick when I'm on an airport.
Yeah. And one other thing I just want to ask you about, a good note to end on, I think, towards the end of the book, you talk about keeping the clutter at bay, which I think is a really important subject, because it's not just the case of, okay, right, I'm going to declutter my home, and then you do it and you're like, right, done, I've completed that, I never need to do it again. It is something that's kind of ongoing, but I suppose the idea is once you've done it once and it was maybe a big project to start with, the idea is that you do it in small bits constantly, so it doesn't have to be a big project again.
Exactly. Decluttering is a process and not a project. And of course, you know, there are little projects within. I'm going to do my kitchen. I'm going to do my kitchen drawer. I'm going to do my glasses now. So you break it down. But as soon as you kind of got through that first declutter of a room, then it's really important to fit in daily resets and weekly resets into your routines. You know, it's the same actually as cleaning, for example. What you don't want to do is suddenly go, oh, and then you have to clean your whole bathroom top to bottom. You just want to kind of wipe your sink every 2 days, you know, just put a bit of a toilet cleaner in the toilet every day. Just little tiny 5 minute jobs here and there. It's the same with decluttering. After dinner, load your dishwasher. In the morning, unload the dishwasher. It's these habits that you can put into place in the beginning. They take longer, but the more often you do them, the quicker you get with them. And it's interesting because we sometimes overestimate how long something takes. And that's why Leslie and I always say, listen, time yourself unloading the dishwasher. How long does it take you? Well, 5-6 minutes, you should be, that's something around that time, sometimes a bit quicker, sometimes a bit slower, depending on what's all crammed in there. But if you kind of know, actually, it only takes me 5 minutes to load my dishwasher, suddenly it's not this massive chore that builds up in your head and you just keep procrastinating about. Actually, just gonna, after dinner, load my dishwasher, turn it on, and in the morning, unload it. And wow, it transformed your kitchen. And when you do this every day for a couple of weeks, boom, it's a habit. Same with, I'm going to take out the recycling every day instead of waiting until the bin is completely overflowing. And then it takes a while to get the bag out and just you're trying to juggle everything every day. Just 2 minutes to do the recycling. And all these tiny little habits make it so much easier. So the work doesn't build up. So in the weekend, you've got time to spend, you're not playing catch up of the whole week. Because if you on a Saturday, you have to do the dishes that were piling up the whole week, it's suddenly a horrible job.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that. And you're like, oh. And when you're like on a Tuesday evening, you're like, I'm going to do my future self a favor here. I'm going to load this dishwasher. Woo! And you're like, you feel great because you're like, I am doing my future self a big favor here. I'm happy because in the morning, I'm coming downstairs to a nice, tidy kitchen. So you start the day like on a completely different note instead of looking at all the food and pots and pans and plates and all the things from last night. No fun.
Yeah.
Doing a little bit every day really, really helps.
Definitely. And it does. It makes you feel good. That little thing about, you know, we have dinner parties and things and people over to our house for dinner. And we've got into the routine in the last few years, probably since I did your, your course, of doing exactly what you say, loading the dishwasher after the people have left. and you know, tidying the putting things in the bin and even cleaning the surfaces, cleaning the table and things like that. So when you come down in the morning, you almost forget that you've had people over because it already looks clean. And it took like 5-10 minutes. It's nothing really.
Yeah, I know. And it makes all the difference. So you don't start with a backlog over the weekend. So then suddenly it's like, oh, wow, I'm on top of things. I now have time to do a little bit of extra here and there. Let me now look at my, I don't know, linen cupboard and sort out what duvet fits which bed and what sizes are there. And because you're not kind of scrambling around to do all to stay on top of all the daily things, the laundry, the dishes, the recycling, all of that, massive, massive difference. And that's why we you know, wrote a whole chapter about it. And we only talk about the daily resets, but there's weekly resets, seasonal resets. But that's once the clutter goes down, you start to get time for those kinds of things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's been lovely to chat with you as always. And huge congratulations to you and Leslie for your book, Reset Your Home. Listeners can get it from our website, tre.radio. And it's by Leslie Spellman and Ingrid Janssen, who we've been chatting with today. Thank you, Ingrid.
Oh, thanks, Hannah. Oh, as always, lovely to be here.
Take care. Speak again soon.